Well, I tell you what, it's good to be in the house of God tonight. It's good to have Pastor Randy Johnson with us, and he's no stranger here. He's been just about at every one of these camp meetings that we've held, and God has truly blessed us to cross paths with Brother Randy and just enjoy this man and love his zeal and enthusiasm for the Lord. He excited me. I didn't tell him today, but he excited me this evening. And not in a bad way, but a good way, because he called me, and it was sometime before 6 o'clock, and he called me, and he said, the GPS says I should get there about 6:57. He said, so I just want to let you know I'm going to be there. And after everything that's went on already with Brother Frank and stuff, I thought, well, Lord, it's yours. You do what you want to with it. But he said something on the rest of the call, and it just excited me to no end, because he said, now, brother, he said, I ain't coming for nothing. Now, I've had some singers tell me that, and I know what they mean. I know what they mean. But this brother I knew didn't mean that, though. But he said, I ain't coming for nothing. And he paused for a second. He said, I expect the Lord's going to do something. Now, I tell you what, that excited this preacher right here. Because he said, I'm not driving all the way over there for God to do nothing. He said, I'm driving over there for God to do something. I fully expect to see it happen. And I tell you, that excited me right there. Because I got to thinking in my mind, what do I expect to happen when I get there? Boy, I tell you, I expect God to show up. And I expect God to do something, don't you? But I tell you what, I don't come in here expecting just to hear a little twinkle toes and go on down the road somewhere. I want God to speak to me. Do you still believe God speaks tonight? He speaks through His Word, doesn't He? Amen. And His Word will change your life. But Brother Randy is the pastor of Valley Forge Free Will Baptist Church in Elizabethton, Tennessee. Fantastic church, fantastic ministry that God is doing. And I say this because I don't know of any other church doing this, but his is literally the fastest growing Free Will Baptist Church in the nation right now. I don't know of any other church that's growing faster than Brother Randy's is growing. He is having a dynamic impact that God is using that church for the community there in Elizabethan. And to give you an announcement, he told me, and I forgot this was coming up, but Brother Shannon was talking about the Primitive Quartet and the song he's singing, but Brother Randy's church is hosting the Primitive Quartet on Saturday night, September 29th. So if you want to go over to Elizabethan, it's only right about an hour and a half from here. It's free of charge. There's no entrance fee, tickets, or anything to go over there. And it is a benefit singing for Free Will Baptist Family Ministries. And so if you'd like to drive over to Brother Randy's church and visit there, I promise you they'll treat you fantastic. And you can enjoy the Primitive Quartet and the song service. And at the same time, help out a great ministry there for Free Will Baptist Family Ministries. And so encourage you to do that. Mark that down on your calendar and go. What time does that start, by the way, brother? 6:30 on Saturday night. So there you go. You still make it back in time and won't be too late to go to bed. And you'll have a good time in the Lord, I know. But we appreciate Brother Randy being here tonight. Would you put your hands together and welcome him tonight?
Fastest growing church in the nation. I think he means we're just eating a lot more chicken or just whatever. I thought about, I had a late night meeting last night. Deacons meet lasted 12:15. It was a great deacons meeting. It was one of them where the staff and the deacons just got together. We were worshiping the Lord and praising Him and great things. So I needed a little wake up tonight. And that Heritage, Brother Shannon, you all just woke me up right there. That was really good. Appreciate you singing. And I never seen a bass like that. No offense, brother. I never seen a bass. Looks like a bass on Weight Watchers, don't it? Yeah. It lost its belly there a little bit. I never seen, but boy, y'all did a great job tonight. And I love this church. I tell you, I cut off toward that raccoon holler sign and I get the goosebumps already just thinking, what's God going to do here? Do you know what God's doing? Do you all realize how blessed you are? Do you feel blessed tonight? Has the Lord blessed you today? I tell you what, I walked out of two hospitals today, visited people, a fellow on his deathbed just a little while ago, and I'll tell you something, if you can stand and you can see and you can walk and you can talk and you can hear tonight, you've got enough to shout the house down about tonight. God's been good to you this evening, and I appreciate this church tonight, and I told Brother Sonny, he's at the bottom of his list. Brother, I tell you, but I love coming over here. And when I told him I'd come for, I wouldn't come for nothing, I meant that. I really believe God got something to do tonight. I really do. Is he able?
Amen.
Love you, Pastor. Brother Sonny, Sister Julia, I think appreciate you all. Happy birthday to you yesterday, I believe it was. And appreciate y'all being there tonight. And good to see the twins here tonight. Faith and Hope. I love that. And they don't know it. Is this their first Sunday, our first service here?
Yes, sir.
I've got a message on the double portion tonight, all right? I didn't know they were going to be here, and they didn't know I was going to be here, but God knew we were all going to be here. Ain't it great how He just brings things together tonight? Turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. So I love 1 and 2 Kings. If you like, young people, if you like adventure, and you like good stories, I mean, you like something, these aren't just fables, these are true stories that have 1 and 2 Kings. I tell you, two books of power here, and I again appreciate that. While this is the only church I've ever preached at, Brother Sonny, where we had preaching in the parking lot.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Now, I did have an incident in the parking lot. A young man was killed in a car wreck, 20 years old, and that was a couple weeks ago. Had his funeral. But 10 years ago, almost to the day, that young man came to me in the parking lot of the church. This is the only other parking lot incident I had. This young man said, "Preacher, I want to get saved." And there, I said, "When do you want to get saved?" He said, "Right now." I said, "Right here." He said, "Right here." In the parking lot, I found a tailgate there, put my Bible there, took him down Romans Road, and that young man accepted Christ. Little did we know, 10 years later, he would be in eternity. But I like those times when God shows up in the parking lot.
Amen.
Felt Him in the parking lot tonight and appreciate His goodness. Before we read anything tonight, I'm not into long introductions, but I love this place. I have a heritage. Speaking of the heritage, I have a heritage over here. My grandfather's people were from over somewhere in this area. My brother lives in Winston-Salem, and I appreciate tonight the goodness of the Lord. I got to share one thing before we really get into the Word here. Talk about grandparents. How many grandparents do we have here? How many grandparents? Grandparents. A lot of grandparents. We did something at church. I got to share a funny story for you grandparents. We did something on Sunday night. We honored our grandparents, and we had a special message because I'll tell you, I don't know if it's like this over in North Carolina, but in Tennessee, a lot of grandparents are raising their grandchildren.
Yes, sir.
And so we want to do something to motivate and inspire and help our grandparents. Grandparents need love too. You know, they don't have grandchildren who carry their wallets around saying, "Look at my grandma." Our grandpa. Grandparents need encouragement, don't they? But anyway, we were there at the church, and I love y'all smiling tonight. You'd make me nervous if you was looking at me frown. But this is a true story. We bought a little gift for Brother Sonny. We had a little gift. It was some pens and a bookmark. And we had this for grandparents, little things to give the grandparents. And this fella, his name's Clarence, and he's a classic. I love him to death. He walks up to the guy who announces it, and he couldn't wait till after the service. And he said, "Lauren, what did y'all get for us?" And Lauren said, "We got bookmark and the pens." He goes, "You got bookmark and the pens?" He thought we were giving a bookmark and depends. Sorry, are you all with me? Listen, I don't have diapers to give to you tonight, but I'll tell you one thing I've got. I've got the Word of God tonight.
Amen.
And I appreciate the Lord tonight. 2 Kings chapter 2, look at verse 8 and 9 tonight. 2 Kings chapter, have you found your place?
Yes, sir.
2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And just want the Lord to take over here tonight. I love this story. This is an amazing story how Elijah, how many of you have heard of Elijah? Elijah, this is his home going. And I know you've heard a lot of stories about it. And you probably heard your pastor preach about Elijah. And you probably know all the stories about Elijah. This is one of the most fantastic things that ever happened in the Bible, I believe, because it gives us an indicator that death once again is defeated.
Amen.
But 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, listen to this, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That makes cold chills run over. A double portion of God's Spirit tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've never needed you like we need you right now tonight. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for Brother Sonny, Sister Julia, and the mighty work that you're doing here, Father, for the people's lives that are being changed in this community. And Father, I pray tonight that no one here would be satisfied with exactly where they're at, but they would want more of what you have for their life tonight. Lord, we are asking, Father, not that I represent you, but that you show up and represent yourself, because you are worthy tonight, and you are our Father tonight, and we thank you. I pray your Holy Spirit would help us tonight, and I need you tonight to be strong in my weakness, Lord, because I just depend upon you tonight. And give us that double portion, I pray. Help us to meet the conditions and make all the stops tonight. And I pray that that double portion would fall upon this church here in these last days. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen tonight. Thank you so much for being here. Thank God for all that He's doing tonight in this church. And once again, how many of you feel blessed to be here tonight? I do. I'm honored to be here. I tell you what, I'm honored. And I want to be real quick tonight, but I want to be sure about what we talk about. The Bible talks about double this and double that many times in the Bible. But tonight I'd like to talk to you. The title of the message would be Double or Nothing. Double or nothing. And I know that may seem like a term that we hear sometimes. It's basically saying, Lord, I want you to double what you're doing, or I don't want to stay where I'm at. It's either double or nothing, Lord. I'm not going to stay right where I'm at. And I believe revival is a time when we move closer to God. And how many of you feel like that you'd like to be a little closer to the Lord tonight? We're living in these last days. There's a falling away. We're perilous times are not coming. They're here.
That's right.
And the Bible talks about double in several different cases here. The Bible talks about double in regard to God's judgment. And I tell you tonight, I'm glad to be on God's side, and I'd hate to be on the other side.
Yeah.
Because there's a judgment in Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah. There's a talk about a time when God doubled His judgment upon sin. There's a time in the Bible. The Bible says an elder who handles the Word of God is double worthy. There's a place in the Bible that says deacons are not to be double-tongued. And there's a place in the Bible that tells us in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways.
That's right.
Tonight I want you to notice something about this story. It talks about another time when double is used, and that's a double portion. And a double portion was a time of the inheritance. When the father would divvy out his inheritance, he would count the number of kids he had, and each child would get a share of the inheritance. However, there was a catch there. If you were the oldest child, how many of you are the firstborn, the oldest child? My brother used to make fun of, when the death angels come, the 10th plague, he would say, when I was a little boy, my brother would always say, you know what, if the death angel came, you'd be out of here. But then I'd fire right back at him, I'd say, yeah, but if the death angel don't come, I get the double portion. Are you ready? You say, I haven't got my double yet. I haven't got mine either. Are you with me? But I want you to notice tonight, the double portion was a time. And this story here is an amazing story. And I don't want to cover the whole thing. I know you want to get home tonight, but you need to read 1 and 2 Kings it's an amazing book. And 1 Kings primarily deals with the old prophet Elijah. And he is on his way out. This is his last whirlwind tour, so to speak. He is ready. God has a chariot, a taxi to heaven that is waiting on him on the other side of the Jordan. And I want you to notice here, Elijah wants the work to go on.
Now, this was a very difficult time, church. Just kind of like we are in today. I'm a happy guy, and I love life, and I appreciate things. But I'll tell you, if I didn't have the Lord tonight, I wouldn't have a whole lot to look forward to.
Amen.
If I didn't have a hope to cross in Jordan one day and get to ride to heaven here, I'll tell you, church, I'd be of all men most fearless.
Right.
I mean, times are tough, and the culture has gone crazy, and the world's gone mad, and the devil is roaring.
That's right.
Singing when he made a fire.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, if you just watch the evening news, you'll be so depressed that you won't be able to stand it. I'm here to give you good news tonight. Oh, I say, we've got a hope in the Lord.
Amen.
How many of you got with a group of people that believe Jesus is your only hope?
Jesus is the answer tonight. And Elijah wants the work to go on. However, things are even getting worse.
But Brother Shannon, from Elijah's day, he goes through these cities here. There's a famine in the land. I mean, I don't know about you. How many of you have already had suffering? I mean, we're so blessed. Did you know some of you throw out more than a lot of families have in a whole month?
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if you had food on your table and you look down at your shoes and you've got shoes on your feet, I'm going to tell you something now, you ought to thank God.
Amen. Right. Amen.
I'll tell you, you didn't get it. You didn't earn it. God gave it to you.
Amen.
It's all His.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm thankful tonight that there was a famine in the land. God's been good to America.
Well, the sunny, especially our area.
Right.
In this area we live, we're blessed to live. I tell you, I drove over here. I tell you, I drive over here for nothing.
Yeah.
I really. I mean, this is beautiful here tonight. But I'll tell you, there was a famine in the land. It was so bad that people were resorting to cannibalism.
That's right.
There was a drought that was so dry, I mean, nothing could grow. And there was a time, I look back at Elijah here, and it was so dry that people had gone to drastic measures. And I'll tell you, I thank God that He's the God that gives the rain.
Amen.
He's the God that gives the sunshine. But Elijah here, he at one time, it was dry, and he sent his little servant man over there to look, and he said, all I see is seven times he went, didn't see anything. I believe, but he looked out and he said, Elijah, my master, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand.
That's right.
Boy, it rained, and you know the story, how that Elijah, he outran Ahab's chariot back. I'll tell you something, if you've got the power of God in your life, you can outrun the culture every time.
Amen.
I don't know about you,
Amen.
But some people let the culture catch up to them, or they run along with the culture, but with God on your side, young people tonight, you can outrun Ahab's chariot.
Amen.
Tonight I want you to notice Elijah had something about him. He had a mantle. And this mantle was symbolic of his calling of God. Am I not on? You want me to start over? People, little boy's going, no, don't start over. Don't start over. Am I on now?
You're on now.
Okay. I'll just tell you what I've told you already was good if you didn't hear it. I mean, not that I can do it, but God's Word is good.
Amen.
But he had this mantle. He had this mantle. And this mantle represented God's power. Real quickly here. He finds, he wants the work to go on. He realizes times are tough. And Elijah, let me say this. Brother Sonny, the law of the legacy says when we leave and when we're done, we want to make a good handoff. You don't want things to fail when you're gone.
Amen.
You don't want things to be worse when you're gone. I appreciate people who want things to be better when they're gone.
Yes, sir.
If you're off on vacation, I want to put people in the pulpit that'll feed the sheep.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
And tonight, this particular Elijah has this thing. He goes out in the field. You know the story there. There's one guy that's really being blessed of the Lord in his business. His name's Elisha, and he's a farmer. I notice Christmas trees. I don't know what kind of farming he did, but the Bible says he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he was plowing one day, and the old man of God, Brother Sonny, walks up to him. This guy's got this mantle on, a symbol of the presence of God in his
life, and he finds this Elisha man, and he's plowing there in the field, and basically you know the story, how that Elisha was called of God to be the next guy in line to be the prophet to Israel and Judah, and there to preach the word. And he found him out there. This guy's got a great agribusiness. He's a farmer. He's wealthy. But you know what he did? The Bible says that he took two of the oxen there, I believe, and he sacrificed them to God. And I'm not saying that if you're a businessman that you need to just throw everything away and follow God unless God calls you. We need good businessmen, and we need people that have Christian businesses, and we need those people. But if God's called you, you'd be better off and a lot happier just to toss it away. I remember when I had my job, I had the job of my dreams. And I'm not tooting my horn at all, folks. I'm just telling you, God is faithful. And Brother Sonny, if I'd have stayed in my jobs the way I had, instead of saying, Lord, I want to go full time, both places are closed down. In fact, my wife and I drove by a place I worked with that in 1990 had 2,300 people working at it. And the place was a ghost town. And God said, I'm faithful.
Amen.
He didn't, it ain't about me, but he said, I'm faithful. I drove by that place. He said, I'm faithful. And tonight, I'm just thankful tonight that Elijah saw the need for Elisha. He knew the times were wicked. I want you to notice something as he followed Elijah here. There's four stops tonight, I believe. I believe that this church may be in a season of double portion. Now, double portion don't come easy. You just don't pull up in the church on Tuesday night and say, Lord, I just want you to just download a double portion on me, and I'm not going to have to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and receive it. You'll notice here there were conditions to be met to receive the double portion. I want you to make four quick stops with me, and we'll go home tonight. Four stops tonight, and each of you are probably somewhere along one of these four stops in Elijah's farewell tour with Elisha. You got four places I want you to stop. The Bible says there in verse 2, it says, 2 Kings chapter 2, I believe, that they left from Gilgal. And real quickly, these four places are four cities that are familiar. And you may have heard this story before, but may God the Holy Spirit give you an angle on this tonight that's specially made for you. How many of you tonight are twins? How many any other twins tonight? We got a twin right up here. We got a twin right back here. And we got the two new twins, Faith and Hope, tonight. And twins. I want you to notice at each of these stops what Elisha says. He has an opportunity to stay there, but he says, I want a double or nothing. It's a double portion or nothing. And you know, you have to get to that point where you say, Lord, I'm not satisfied right where I'm at.
Amen.
I'd like to double it.
Amen.
I'd like to double it. And I want you to know the first place is Gilgal. Gilgal was the first place that the children of Israel came to. They're there in the promised land. And it talks about Gilgal. I believe it's in Joshua chapter 5. They stopped there. It's the place where the children of Israel, after being in bondage, I believe, that's the first stop they made in their journey into the promised land. And it's a place of new beginnings. They were basically starting over. And at that point, God demanded that there be a time of circumcision, which basically was a time when it symbolized God was cutting away the wilderness and cutting away the sin in their life. He was cutting that out and trying to get the wilderness out of them, because that generation, Brother Shannon, only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, were very old at all. The rest of them had had a time of burying their parents and their grandparents. All they did for 40 years would go to funerals. Because God said, you're not going into the promised land. The whole generation died. And imagine, here's this generation. They're standing there at Gilgal, Brother Sonny. And that all they've done has gone to funerals. And now it's a time when God says, I'm going to give you a new start.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad we've got a God tonight. Wherever you're at and whoever you are tonight, if you're here tonight and you say, I'm kind of tired of my life. I'm tired of the way I'm living. I'm tired of the same old thing, the same old day, the same old routine, the same old this, the same old that, the same old sin, whatever it may be. I'm glad we've got a God that'll pull you out of the same olds. Are you with me? And give you a new start tonight. I'm excited about that. I've seen God do some miraculous things with a new start. There was a young lady real quickly here. I'm taking my time, but I feel the liberty of the Lord here. I believe God wants to help somebody. We got some people. Gilgal is that time when you ask Jesus to come in your heart. And that new beginning. How many of you remember that? If you've forgotten that, may God remind you of where you were, how you felt, how low you were. That feeling of miry clay and how it felt to be pulled out of the miry clay and stand on the solid rock. A young lady, her grandmother was had custody with her. Her father was a Muslim. And so they were from up north. And to make a long story short, a lot of bad things happened. And when I first heard of and met this young girl, she had tried to commit suicide. She's eighth grade. And I found her she was over at the hospital, and at the psychiatric hospital. First met her. Had never been in a church, had never heard anything much about Jesus. Let me make a long story short tonight. Because of Gilgal, this young lady came and she was out there in the wilderness of sin. She was out there in a terrible family life and a dysfunctional family. And by the way, the grandparents have full custody of her now. And I'll tell you something, what happened in the meantime, her grandmother, a godly woman from Georgia who moved up here in this area, brought her to church one Sunday night. And she had been coming to day camps with the youth, didn't know anything. Some of the girls said, this girl knows nothing about Jesus. Her Muslim background and all that. But can I share you something about, let's see, is 3 weeks ago this past Sunday night, after almost dying and barely living through a suicide attempt, this young lady was brought to Gilgal by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, glory to God. I'm going to tell you something, what happened to her. She was one time there on her deathbed, but Jesus brought her to life. Church, can I get a little help there tonight? Just a little bit of help. How many of you know that Gilgal is a place of new beginnings? But I'll tell you something. Elijah, I'm so excited. Elijah, he stops there with Elisha at Gilgal. And Brother Sonny, you know the story. He said, you want to stay here? Now, you'd think if he wants somebody, he's testing him. He's testing me. He said, are you okay? And you know, some people are good to just stay at Gilgal. I got saved and I'm glad to be saved. I'm in now and I don't care if I ever do anything else. I'm in and that's it. Oh, I'm telling you something. You're missing out on your destiny. You're missing out on what God made you to do. And there's a gap between where you are in your faith and what God made you to be. And that gap is disappointment. That gap is not being fulfilled. That gap will leave an empty place in your life. And I'll tell you, from where you're at right now and where God created you to be, that gap right there, I'm praying tonight that somebody will close that gap. And get a little happier. Get a little more fired up about your faith. Are y'all with me? Gilgal, Elijah looks over at him and says, you want to stay here? What does he say? No, sir, double or nothing. He basically says, I want more. I want more. So the Bible reads here, I don't know, in verse 3 there, verse 2 and 3, they make a transition. They leave getting saved. They leave that new beginning. And they go on over to a place called Bethel. Anytime you see the word Beth, it means house. Bethany, I believe, house of bread, I believe it is. Bethlehem is house of bread. And anytime, Beth means house. And in this case, El, E-L, and I'm no scholar and I'm not trying to act smart or anything like that, but it has a real good meaning here. El, the words El in the Hebrew, 650 some names of God, it means God. So let's put it together. Bethel, house of God. Where does that come from? It's when Jacob, he's a conniver. His name means conniver. His name means that he's a trickster. And why, where did they get that? Any of y'all in Sunday school, why was Jacob called that? Because he cheated his brother out of his birthright. And guess what? It backfired on him. Anytime you try to trick somebody in a way like that, it's going to backfire on you. You can run, but you can't hide. And Jacob, he's trying to hide, but now he's running because his brother's going to kill him. You know the story. He goes to Bethel, the house of God. It used to be called Luz, and he calls it Bethel, house of God. His pillow, he's so miserable that even a rock pillow feels good. Are you with me? He's not got one of these feather down pillows. He's laying on a rock, and you know the story. He saw a ladder descending, angels going up and down the ladder. At the top was the Lord. You know what I'm saying? The house of God. You ever go to the church sometime, you feel like the angels are going up and down the ladder, and you hear God speaking through your pastor, you hear God speaking through your Sunday school teacher, God speaking through the choir, God speaking through the singers, and you just say, boy, it's good to be here in the house of God.
Amen.
I'll tell you something, there's something special about the house of God. When I was a little boy, my granny, we used to have, you talk about a tough generation, my granny, when I was a little boy, they had 2-week Bible schools. During the day. Are you with me? 2-week Bible schools during the day. You know, we wimp it out and say, man, we're killed after a week. You know what I'm saying? But my granny, one of the time I remember driving on Jordan Road over there, and my grandmother says, we're going to the house of God. And at about 4 years old, the earliest I can remember, Brother Sonny, I remember her saying, we're going to the house of God. And I remember the amazement. It was that childlike faith that says, we're going to God's house. We're going to God's house. And I expected something. When Granny said, we're going to the house of God, I was going, Granny, we're going to God's house? Where He lives. And you know what she meant. Isn't it good when God's people get together and the Father comes and sits down at the table and just blesses His children? Something special about the house of God. And Jacob, you know what? He should have stayed in the house of God, but what happened? He left the house of God, and I'll tell you what he did. What I planned to do with my two daughters. One guy's already tricked me out of one of my daughters, but this next daughter that I've got, you know what? I'm gonna do like what happened to Jacob. Are you with me? Dads, listen to this. If you've got a daughter, especially a teenage daughter, and those old boys come walking around, I'm gonna tell you what to do. Read the story about Laban. Are you with me? What happens? When you trick somebody, it'll come back and bite you. When you cheat somebody, it's going to come back and bite you. God's going to make sure of it. And notice what happened. He had to work 7 years and he didn't get the woman that he wanted. 7 years of hard labor. Thinks he's got his bride. You know the story here. And make a long story short, he finally gets his bride after 14 years. It's a long time to wait. Well, that sounds good to me. I think I'm going to tell Jeremy Wright, this guy back at church. He's a preacher, son. I've run two off, but he's still hanging around. I'm going to tell him you got 7 more years. And then when he gets to 7 years, I'm going to say, just kidding, you got 7 more. That ain't going to work. This evening, Jacob, Brother Sonny, he got away from the house of God. He wandered and he comes limping back. But he came back to the house of God. Let me say this. If you're in trouble tonight, the worst thing you can do is run away from the house of God. You've got people here that love you. You've got a church. You've got a family here. God has no orphans. He's got a family for everybody. He's got a church family for everybody. He's raised up Calvary Free Will Baptist Church. Can you believe this? He's raised you all up here in this community over in North Carolina in the last days to be the salt, to be the light, and to show His love to this whole community. You were picked. I believe that. I believe that. And that excites me to think we're on a divine mission here tonight. It's not just every day as usual. God's doing something here. Brother Sonny said you've had people get saved. You've had people's lives changed. And God's doing a work here. Let me say this. There's a season of double portion. I feel it in my spirit. And I'm not very smart, but I do know the Spirit of the Lord. There's a season of double portion where the Lord, I believe, got it up there ready to pour. And He's just waiting on people to go out of Gilgal, to go to Bethel. And then let's not stop at Bethel. Some people are just satisfied with coming to church. And I don't want to down anybody about that. Coming to church is great. It's the next stop after you get saved is to get involved in a family. But I'll tell you something, you're going to miss out if you stop just coming, if you stop and just come to church. Are you with me? God says, come on, Elijah and Elisha stop at Bethel, the house of God, and the prophets are there, the school sons of the prophets there, they're in a place there, and they try to talk Elisha into being their pastor, I guess, and to be their leader, because they know, they say, your master, he's going away today. They even knew that he was going away. Brother Sonny, they tried to talk him into saying, people will try their best to keep you just to warm the pew. are just, let's don't get too involved here. Let's, you know, we got a lot of things to do. I'm not picking on you tonight. I can go back and if the Border Patrol don't stop me, I'm going back into Tennessee tonight and leave Brother Sonny with a stirred up mess here. But you know what happened? Elijah said, Elisha, you want to stay here at Bethel, just warm a pew. You want to just stay in the house of God. What did he say? He said, I want more. I want more. You know why God's blessed this church? Is because several of you left the house of God, so to speak, and went to that next part, which is Jericho. Jericho. Let me ask you real quick. When I say Jericho, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Walls. Walls. You know what? When you step out of your comfort zone and you get out of the pew and you start to do something for the Lord, you're going to run into some walls. Are you with me? And I don't know what your walls are. I know what my walls are. But I'm going to tell you something. When you really decide, Lord, I want a double portion. I want more of what you got. I want to read your word more. I want to do that. You'll run into walls. I don't know about that. Every time when I decide, Brother Shannon, I want to pray a little more. You know what? I get a little sleepier.
Come on.
I'll hit that wall. It might be something that simple. Then there's other walls that'll come up. I keep saying Joshua because I love the story here. But Elijah and Elisha, I've been preaching on Joshua, so I'll probably say it a lot. But Elijah and Elijah, he says, double or nothing at Bethel. Let's go on to Jericho. They stop in Jericho, brother. And they stop there at Jericho, which means a place of walls. And by the way, looking back at Bethel, that's where Jacob had a dream. And there's a lot of people. I'm going to go back to Bethel just a second. There's a lot of people who sit in church and say, one day I'll teach a Sunday school. One day I'll do that. And they dream and say, one day I'll do that. Let me warn you real quick. That one day may never come. If you, sometimes it's good to dream, but take your dreams and say, Lord, take my dreams. And with your help and your power, make them happen. And they go to Jericho. And Jericho is a place of walls. And I'll tell you something. Anytime you say, I want to get off the pew and I want to do something to help my community, I want to serve on a mission team, I want to do something with Samaritan's Purse, I want to do something to help the Free Will Baptist Family Ministry. Anytime you do something, you'll always have a wall or something. The sad thing is, a lot of people have walls in their life at Jericho that are family problems. And bless your heart. If you've got family problems here tonight, I've been sent over here to encourage you. I mean, sitting here, look at Jacob. He was he came from a dysfunctional family, but look what happened. In his bloodline came the Son of God. And I'm thinking God can take a dysfunctional family. He can take a family, that's in a mess, and he can turn things around, break that generational sin curse. Hallelujah tonight. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that my family, even though they were dysfunctional, God can do something. My grandfather was an alcoholic. And I never share this, Brother Sonny. My grandfather was an alcoholic. And his dad was a preacher. And my grandfather was such a bad alcoholic. I remember as a little boy, my grandmother would be, bless her heart, she'd be walking up the road. And they'd say, they'd call the house and they'd say, they'd tell my mom, your mom's walking up the road and she looks like she's beat up and people would be there with her. And we'd get down there to where she was and blood would be running out of her nose and she would have eyes that were swelled almost shut, carrying her little bag of pajamas and what she had. You know what? I'm not trying to give you a sad story tonight and I don't know where you're at, but no matter how bad it gets, I'm glad God will help you.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, God will help you. My mom and dad divorced and, the sin curse was upon my family and the covenantal death and all of that church tonight. And I'm not here to give you a sad story. I'm here tonight a blessed and happy man because I'm glad that God helped me with my Jericho. Are you with me? How many of you could praise Him tonight? I don't think it's just sit there. I think we ought to give Him a hand. If He's broke down the walls in some way for you, hallelujah tonight. Brother Sonny, it's not about buildings, but it's about people.
Yes,
but I'll tell you something. I'm going to share this real quickly here. When a church family steps out to do something, somebody stepped out to do something. You all have a beautiful building, a wonderful setting. Aren't you glad that somebody stepped out of the Bethel and said, I want to go to Jericho, break down a few walls so that people could find Jesus?
Amen.
Let me ask you this real quick. I'm hurrying. Let me ask you this real quick. Are you thankful that somebody broke down a wall so that you could have a church to go to?
Amen. Amen.
Are you thankful that somebody broke down the wall? Let me talk to you as a church tonight. And I don't know, there may be other churches here tonight. Let me say this. When a church decides to step out and do something to go against the culture and shine a light against the darkness, you're going to hit walls.
Amen.
Don't be discouraged. Just march around the walls.
Yes, sir.
What happened in Jericho? They walked 7 times around the walls, 1 time every day. On the 7th day, they walked 7 times around the walls. He said, let the preachers blow the trumpets. They blew the trumpets. And the first stop into God's best, the first stop in the promised land, the first big obstacle, guess what happened? The walls came tumbling down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when that first one goes, brother, the second one's a little easier. You got a little more faith in the Lord that He's going to help you with this other enemy, these other giants. And one by one, through the years, God's blessed Calvary Free Will Baptist Church, somebody broke down the walls. Somebody marched around. And they didn't do it, but God did it through their faith. God did it. We had a piece of property. We decided in 2000, God had blessed us, and we decided to build a building. And anytime you try to do something like that and make room for more, for a bigger family, a bigger church family, I tell you, it really upsets the devil.
Yes, sir.
It'll upset. If you try to do anything, but listen, we had our plant, God delayed. It's a long story, but anyway, we had a piece of property there, and there's a guy. First of all, this one guy where our sanctuary is sitting right now, I'm going ahead and tell you the end of the story. His house sat there, and he called the law on us for ringing the church bell. And he even said, you'll never get my property. Brother, I'm going to say, God's not into nevers. Are you with me? We were good neighbors. We quit ringing the bell. We made peace. Make a long story short, that's an early Jericho. He broke down that Jericho. Well, we run into the next Jericho out here. There's another wall. They said, you can't have this property. We couldn't pull a fire truck around our building. The state says you can't have it. Our neighbors gave us enough to do that, but we could barely squeeze around. And I'll tell you, we needed this field out here. And this guy said, you'll never get it. I'll put it in the deed. You'll never get it. You know what he did? When he got down and sick and on his deathbed, we were good to him. Ate supper with him 3 or 4 times. Just said, brother, we really need this property. He went to a neighboring church, her church that we love, and he turned right around and right in our face, instead of giving us the property or giving us an option to buy, he gave it to the church, deeded it over to his church, which is fine. We were good. We're saying, God, you're in there. I'll tell you what happened. We really needed that. One night, a bunch of men. I'm not here to glorify ourselves, but a bunch of guys got together, and it was crazy. And they asked me about it, and I said, well, I'll go with you. And I'll be honest, I was a little skeptical of it. But one night at night when nobody was around. How many of you like those times when nobody's around? That'll preach right there. Brother Sonny, we had 7 guys walk 7 times around that property boundary there in the darkness, and all the time praying, God, this is a Jericho, and we need it. Make a long story short, the elders from that church all of a sudden called one day and said, we need to talk to you. Several days, months later, and they said, we can't sleep. They came, sat in the primary Sunday school class with us, and they said, we want to give you that field. We said, we don't want anything that don't cost us anything, like owning's field. And so we gave them $20,000, and it just so happened that their air conditioning and heating system had broke, and guess how much they needed to replace the whole thing? Glory to God. I'm telling you, I'm going to warn you, I'm about to shout tonight. Well, when the walls start falling, you thank God I didn't just sit in the pew. Thank God I got involved. Thank God I'm with a family that wants to move forward. Thank God I'm with people that not satisfied with a single portion, but they want a double portion. How many of you like it when you have seconds? Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, somebody said the definition of Free Will Baptist fasting. You heard that when Brother Tim Hawkins said the definition of a Free Will Baptist faster is not going back for thirds. Are you with me? How many of you like two pieces of chicken instead of one? Are you with me? There's a fellow at our church, one of our deacons, a godly man. Believe it or not, he was in the Guinness Book of World Records with his family from over in Gray, the Harrison family. He's one of the most godly men. If something were to happen tonight and I really needed somebody, prayer warrior, he's in my top three. I'd call him. He had 14 brothers in a row. They were, in fact, 14 brothers. The 15th one was a girl. They wanted a girl really bad, didn't they? 14 boys, the 15th one was a girl, and I just want to share you a quick story about a double portion. Sam said that when they ate cereal, that they ate it with a fork so the next one would get some milk. Are you with me? He said, we didn't get a lot of seconds. He said, but it was good. He said when at Christmas time, the mother would bake every boy a big pie, and he said, we never believed in cutting a perfectly good pie, we just ate them whole. Are you with me? That was one time of the year he said we got a double portion. He said he was kind of in the younger part of the pack, Brother Sonny. And he said that until his older brothers got married, he didn't know that a chicken had anything other than a backbone and a neck. Are you with me? The older boys had all the good pieces. But he said there's something about it when you get that double portion. Elijah and Elisha are there at Jericho. Some walls have broke down. Elisha feels the power of God. He has a chance to stay there. In fact, Elijah says, Elijah, why don't you just stay here? He's testing him. God will test you to see if you want that double portion. And you may even have good people say, let's just stay where we're at. And that's fine. But so some people want to break away from the pack and say, God, I want a little more. I want more. I'm just not satisfied with one helping. I want double what you got. How many of you love the way you feel when the Lord just comes down and feeds you real good? He says, I ain't staying here, Jericho. I'm going with you, brother. I'm going with you all the way. He never left his side. And so here they go. Where do they go from Jericho? I'm closing. Last stop. How many of you are glad it's the last stop? Said, preacher, if you stop many more places, I'm going to go to bed on you. Are you with me? Yes. One last stop. Listen to me. This is a good one. Elijah and Elisha leave the crowd. The prophets there. They leave everybody there. And brother, they go to Jordan. Now, the Jordan, back then, that was a boundary. That was a place, and it represented the boundary of going into God's absolute best. And let me say this, the Jordan represented, you're right, that river was the border of going into God's best. You know, we hear about when you die that you cross the Jordan. Thank God one day, saints of God, listen to me. I'm glad that I'm in a plan where we have a Savior that came down and saved us so that we could live forever. And one day when we cross Jordan and death's chilly tide, I'm thankful that the best is on the other side. Are you with me tonight? And I don't know what you're going through tonight, church, but I'm here. I came all the way from Tennessee to tell you tonight that no matter how dark it gets, no matter how sick you get, no matter how poor you get, no matter how bad it gets tonight, no matter how low you get tonight, if you're a child of God, let me say with the authority of God's word, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
The best is yet to come. I'm scared some of you a little bit because I'm so excited, I guess. But I'll tell you something. How many of you get excited when you finish that meal and they say, save, hold your fork? What does that mean? Here comes the dessert. I shouldn't have mentioned that, Brother Sonny. There's some... I'm glad y'all don't have a Shoney's nearby. Are you with me? The spirit of Elijah, he said, they stopped there to Jordan. I'm about done. I'm going to ask the musicians to come here in just a moment, get ready to play. But Brother Sonny, they came down to Jordan. They stopped right there, verses 8 and 9. Notice our text. And he said, Elijah turns to him. He said, okay, you wouldn't stay at Gilgal. You followed me to Bethel. You wouldn't stay at Bethel. You followed me to Jericho, that place of breaking down walls. You wouldn't stay at Jericho. And now we're here. We're getting ready to go over into God's best. We're getting ready to see God work in an unbelievable. You're getting ready to see power like you've never seen before. And what happened? He said, what can I do for you? Obviously, I can't shake you. Now, what do you want? He said, Elijah, all I want from you is a double portion of your spirit. What was the spirit of Elijah? First of all, that spirit was a desire to serve God at any cost. Think about it, church. Think about his desire. He had a desire that the world see Jesus, Brother Sonny. And he had that desire so deep that he stood against 450 prophets there on Mount Carmel. And he went in their face. He said, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he's gone on vacation. Maybe your God, where is he? And the God of the culture, he took them on head to head, toe to toe. And he said, where is your God? And he said, the God that answers by fire will be the true God. And you know the story. Elijah poured 12 buckets of water on the sacrifice. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, the fire from heaven fell. The fire from heaven fell. How can you double that? Elisha knew that the culture was getting worse and worse, and that the same old thing and the same way of doing things may not work with this culture. He said, we're going to have to double it. Lord, a single helping. Elijah, I love his optimism. I love his confidence in God. But he had that desire times two. If we're going to change our culture, we're going to have to do something more. God's going to have to give us more power.
Amen.
And he had that dependence upon God. But tonight, Elijah told him, he said, what you've asked is something I can't do for you. But God can. Elijah didn't have any confidence in himself. He had dependence upon God. The spirit of Elijah has that desire. The spirit of Elijah has determination. Listen to me. If you're going to live a Christian life and get God's best, you're going to have to be determined. You can't play church as usual. You can't just go mediocre. You've got to say, Lord, I want to see your difference. And tonight, the last thing, as the musicians, would you all come tonight and get ready a song of invitation? I appreciate you all so much. Listen. Elijah's spirit was one of desire. It's going to take double the desire to serve the Lord if you want us that double portion.
Yes,
it's going to take double the determination. And I'll tell you something, it's going to take double the dependence. What happened, church? He said, Elijah, you've said a hard thing. First of all, when Elijah touched the mantle down on Jordan, he crossed over to the other side. He's getting ready to see God's best. I'll tell you something, some of you are right on the verge of God's best for your life. I'm here to tell you, go on.
Yes, sir.
Go on. Move on. Don't be satisfied. And tonight, young person, I'm here to tell you, young people are in a war zone. You're in a tough field. I'm telling you, I am so proud. All of our young people, 18 and older, under, would you stand tonight? All of our young people, 18 and under. Wow. A Tuesday night revival, and you all chose to come out. Maybe you say, I didn't choose to. Mom and Dad made me come. You ought to hug your mom and dad's neck. You can be seated. Let's give them a hand. Elijah told him, he said, if you see me, Sonny, you know the story. If you see me, don't take your eyes off me. He wasn't trying to say, but I'll tell you what's happened. There was a whirlwind that started brewing up. The wind began to blow. And I'll tell you, when you get ready to cross into uncharted territory towards God's best, there may be some storms. But I'll tell you who God blesses is those who keep their eyes on Him during the storm. During the storm. Don't be distracted by the storm. If Elisha had been distracted by the storm, he would have missed out on the double portion. Let me share this tonight. Elijah all of a sudden begins to separate. He goes up in the air. And you all know the story. But listen, that mantle that he had represented the power of God. And I don't know about you, but picture this fiery chariot with horses of fire. I mean, something you've seen fireworks. This has the fireworks don't hold it alight to what it was like. And there was a lot of light and a lot of things, but there's that prophet Elijah. He begins to go up. Only three times have people gone up in the Bible. One was Enoch. He was a man in Genesis that walked with God. America has astronauts. Russia has cosmonauts. Old Mays Jackson said, but Enoch was a wasnaut because God took him. Are you with me? Enoch. The next one was Elijah. This is what we're talking about right now. And the third one was none other than your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that ascended back to heaven. He didn't say, I'm going home to stay. He said, I'm coming back to get you, church.
Amen.
Are you with me tonight? You'll be glad when you hear the trumpet sound that you crossed that Jordan and you went beyond anything that you could ever imagine. And God did something here at Calvary that nobody could explain. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to ask you tonight, is your God able?
Amen.
He is. And that mantle. Elisha's trying to keep his eyes. All the fire and all the flame, brother. All that going on in Elisha. He's trying to keep his eyes on Elijah. And he sees him going up in the chariot of fire. And that taxi from heaven taking him on up. And all of a sudden, something appears. Something appears. Falling from the sky, I believe. And the Bible says that mantle. He's watching that mantle. And here it comes down. And Elisha picks up that mantle, church. And what does he do? Does he have the power or not? He goes back. You know he's nervous. I'm going back into a culture that's doubly worse than it's ever been. I'm going back out those doors to a place that's more sin-cursed than ever. I'm going back to a culture tonight that tries to get you to believe that anything but Jesus. And he touches that mantle to the water. And guess what happened? The Jordan parted. And he goes into his mission field. And I'll tell you this, Brother Sonny. Scholars show it. You can read it in your Bible. If you count the miracles of Elisha, it's a double portion. 2-1. For every great miracle, raising the woman's son, the whole army dying, you'll find 2-1. What happened? He left Gilgal, where he was saved. He went on to Bethel, the house of God. He said, I'm not satisfied just sitting here. I want more. I want to get to the wall part. I want to get to where I feel some. I want to get to a place where I can't do it, but God can. Have you ever been there? And then the high step was when they crossed into Jordan. You can go ahead and start playing, brother and sister. Let me just share this tonight. If you need the Lord tonight for whatever, let's stand together. Thank you for your attention. I might have preached a long time tonight. But right now, you might be here tonight and you may say, preacher, I want to see God's best for my life. And